Iraq has hit back at Washington after it accused Iraqi forces of lacking the will to fight Islamic State, which scored a resounding victory a week earlier with the capture of Ramadi. US Defence Chief Ashton Carter says the fall of the city, Baghdad's worst military defeat in almost a year, could have been avoided. Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi told the BBC he was surprised at the comments and insists Ramadi could be taken back in days.
He was very supportive of Iraq. It makes my heart bleed because we lost Ramadi, but can assure you we can bring it back soon.
The jihadist had appeared on the back foot in Iraq in recent months, but twin offensives on Ramadi and on the ancient Syrian city of Palmyra have swung the momentum. Our correspondent in Washington, Simon Mark, says Ash Carter's comments were made on a Sunday night CNN talk show.
He offered a very different version of events than the one that we have heard all week long from State Department officials who had been insisting that the Iraqi army had put up a brave fight, that reports that they had simply melted away were inaccurate, that in fact they'd come under intense violence at the hands of ISIS and had made, in essence, a tactical withdrawal. Ashton Carter said that wasn't the case at all, and that as far as he was concerned, he had reached the conclusion that the Iraqi armed forces lack the will to fight, lack the will to defend themselves or to defend their country. And he portrayed this as something far more serious than what the White House up until now has been referring to as a setback, saying that it was going to take some considerable time and some considerable training by the United States to turn the situation around and to get the Iraqi armed forces to try to develop the will to fight.
So what kind of response has this created? Because, of course, the US and other countries have thousands of troops on the ground in Iraq training these troops.
Correct. And President Obama's entire strategy of trying to defeat ISIS through drone airstrikes backed up by support on the ground in Iraq from the Iraqi armed forces hinges on optimism in the abilities of those Iraqi armed forces. So to have a senior figure within his own administration saying that in essence they acted in a cowardly way is obviously very troubling for the White House. Over in Iraq as well, these allegations, of course, are troubling too. And the response to them came from the head of the Parliamentary Defence and Security Committee, who called Ashton Carter's comments unrealistic and baseless. He said that the United States should bear much of the blame for the fall of Ramadi because it failed to provide solid equipment, weapons, and aerial support. That, of course, a reference to the fact that the ISIS forces advanced during a sandstorm which grounded American warplanes, leaving the U.S. unable to provide the kind of air cover that the Iraqi armed forces say would have been necessary.
Also, Mr. al-Abadi himself responding, saying he's confident Ramadi could be taken back in days, not months. How feasible is that?
Well, I mean, that really hinges on a couple of different things. First of all, on the ability of those Iraqi armed forces to regroup, but it also hinges on the ability of a large group of Shia militia who take their marching orders from Iran, who have massed around Ramadi in a bid to assist in that operation. Now, there are complications in all of that for the Obama administration because, obviously, the United States and Iran do not have a warm and productive relationship. So the U.S. says that it will not coordinate airstrikes with those Shia fighters. It insists that they must be coordinating their actions through the central government in Baghdad, led by Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi, the same Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi who is expressing such disappointment with the comments by Ashton Carter. So in all sorts of ways, the Defense Secretary's comments serve to complicate the situation.
And Simon, some disturbing reports coming out of Palmyra where Islamic State fighters have taken over.
Yes, I mean, there have been a series of these since that city fell. Now mass executions again being reported. Also ongoing concerns about the fate of the ancient ruins there that are classified a World Heritage Site. And on the Syrian side of this problem, the issues are exacerbated again for the Obama administration because they've been relying on the moderate Syrian opposition to try and push Islamic State back. With over half the country now controlled by Islamic State, they've only just started training members of the moderate Syrian opposition, just 90 people out of 15,000 that the U.S. eventually wants to train over the course of the next 3 years. They also say they won't work at all with the government of President Bashar al-Assad, and all of this underscores the notion that the White House has been saying none of these problems are going to be fixed before President Obama leaves the White House, and that any change in strategy on the part of the U.S. will have to be decided by his successor when he or she takes office in January 2017.
That was our correspondent in Washington, Simon Marks.